The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 1, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains may flow down, might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with fire, and our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore?" Verse 1 of chapter 65, "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name." Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. God, I thank you tonight for each one that's come. Several are visiting with us tonight. God, I pray tonight your blessings upon each one. God, I ask you tonight to bless our young people, Lord, that are gathered with Brother Johnny. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless our children. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. Help me, God, to preach tonight, Lord, in a manner that would be pleasing unto thee. Lord, I sure do love you tonight. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, God, for working in my heart and in my life. Thank you, God, for my people. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us this way. I pray, God, tonight, Lord, for a touch from heaven. I pray for Brother Long, Lord, as he comes. God, would you bless that man of God? Would you strengthen him, our Lord? God, would you help him to preach? Lord, I pray for Brother Dagenhart, Lord, as he comes. And the choirs, Lord, as they come. Lord, I just pray the good hand of God be on this place. And help us, our Lord. Lord, not to just have another meeting, but Lord, to see you rend the heavens and come down in Jesus' name. All of God's young and said, amen and amen. We began on Sunday morning talking about this text and preaching a little bit from this text on revival and that the Lord might come down. The psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" How many believes we're a little bit behind in that rejoicing area right there? Amen. I tell you, I'll just say this to you tonight. I used to go to the Rock of Ages conferences. Bob's sitting back there and Charity, that's where they met. I shouldn't have went to that conference. Amen. I should have skipped that one. Amen. But I used to go to the Rock of Ages conferences, and I believe maybe the same thing would apply to a degree in our church. And I got to noticing, even before I was a missionary with Rock of Ages, I was a pastor, and I would go to that conference, that annual conference, and it just seemed like as I watched it, Brother Gale, year after year after year, it just seemed like that rejoicing got a little bit less, and a little bit less, and a little bit less. And I believe there's a reason for that. Number one, I believe the pressures of life. Amen. I believe they're increasing in these days, don't you? But then as we get older, I believe it's a little bit harder when we're sitting there and we're hurting every way from Sunday. Amen. If we're not hurting ourselves, then we know somebody that's hurting every way from Sunday. And I've just been in meetings even in the last 4 or 5 years. I just sit there and think, boy, there was a time when they would be tearing the house down right now. Amen. What happened? What happened? And I believe that God wants us to rejoice. I believe that God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. And so tonight, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. We saw the desperation in Isaiah's voice and in his prayer for God's presence and for God's purpose to make his name known and for God's power when he did terrible things. We looked at the revelation Sunday morning, how that he said, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear nor eye seen. But then you go over there to the book of Corinthians and it says, but they are revealed to us by His Spirit. I believe God wants to reveal some things to our church, don't you? To your pastor, amen, to my family, to my children. I asked prayer a while ago. I asked Sister Helen, help me pray for my granddaughter. She's 12 year old now, amen, and she's showing an interest in church. She wants to come. I sat there Sunday night. She was in the choir. Brother Ralph, I want to see her saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I'm not going to, I'm not going to pressure. I'm not going to push, but I'm going to pray. Amen. That conviction will come. Amen. And I want her to know about a church where people rejoice in the Lord and are happy in the things of God. Amen. And there's a revelation. I want God to reveal Himself to her. She'll never be saved till He does. Amen. Hey, nobody ever got saved until the Holy Ghost of God revealed Jesus to them. Amen. Then there's that preparation. On Sunday night, we came back and we talked about thou meetest with him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. God said, I want to see you rejoicing. I want to see you doing right, working right. Then he said, remembering those that remember thee in thy ways. I tell you one thing right now. I believe revival comes in that heart when we just begin to remember. We remember where we were when He found us. Remember where we're going when we get home. Amen. When He takes us out of here. And remember who's feeding us. I tell you, my children, Charity's sitting back there. And Bob, your mom and dad, they had done the same thing when I resigned at Liberty Baptist Church and went out on the road. You say, preacher, what'd you do? I went by faith. Amen. I met a lady in a grocery store a few months after that. And she said, what are you doing, preacher? I said, well, I'm preaching and I'm building cabinets. And I said, I'm trying to raise my support. And she said, you're building cabinets? I said, yeah. I said, you know, when I resigned the church, I said, the bills kept coming. She said, I never thought of that. I said, a lot of people don't. Amen. But they kept a coming. Amen. And so I had to pay my bills. To be a good Christian, you need to pay your bills. Amen. And so we got out on the deputation trail raising our support. We'd go from church to church to church. And I'd hand the love offering to my children, Brother Houston, in the back seat. He said, preacher, why would you do something like that? I'd let them count it. Amen. He said, why would you do something like that? I wanted to know who was feeding us. I wanted them to know who was putting gas in the car. I wanted them to know who was paying the electric bill. Amen. I can't do as good sometimes just to remember. Amen. You see, Brother Fred, you was talking about 40-some years over there to me. Brother, God give you the job. God give you the hands. God give you the eyes. And no matter what we do, we ought to give God the glory for it. Amen. Just remember. I'm just trying to review just a little bit. I better get on. Amen. Then there was a determination. The Bible said in verse number 7 here, there's none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. I'm going to tell you something right now. We need some determination if we're going to have revival. Amen. Number one, we need to be determined to be here. But we need to determine to take hold of Him. Stir up yourself to get a hold of God. Amen. And take some time to pray. I like the old song. I don't know that I've heard us sing it, Brother Fred, but you probably know it. The old song that says, take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord. Amen. It takes time. Amen.
It takes time. It takes time. And there was a determination in Isaiah's life. He said, there's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Let me give you this, number five. I'll try to get through the rest of this message tonight. There's a couple more things. I think three more things here I want to share with you. Number five, there's a realization in this. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look here with me, if you will, at verse number 8. Let me show you something that's real here. Even in the midst of this, it's real to Isaiah. In verse number 8, Isaiah said this. He said, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. You know, it doesn't matter how bad it gets for the child of God. He's still our Father. Guess what? He's still the potter. Guess what? We're still the clay. Amen. And I thank my God He's still working on us tonight, don't you? The Bible's talking about a realization here. And you say, preacher, what do you mean? He said, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, Thou art potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. Thank God, the Bible said over there in the book of Psalm 100, we didn't make ourselves, it's Him that made us, and not we ourselves. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Amen. And I believe that needs to be real in our hearts tonight. We need that realization when you feel like giving up. Amen. If you get that realization in your heart, He's still on the throne. He's still my God. I still belong to Him. He's still working in my life. Then you can go on another step and another step and serve the Lord. Amen. A realization. I believe some people have forgotten who they belong to. At least they act like they've forgotten it. Amen. We belong to the Lord. Amen. We're His possession. I thank the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, I do. Amen. A lot of people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. We're bought with a price. The Bible said, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Amen. We belong to Him. I think about Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know how we're going to have revival if we have revival? By the mercies of God. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You all know that this thing right here, I believe, is a transformer. He said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I've got news for you. If they put 110 around my ear, it might do something to me. Say amen. You take electricity and you run it through a little box. It went in 110, probably 20 amps maybe. I don't know how, 115 to 120 volts, and then it comes out an entirely different power and a different amount of power. It comes out 12 volt. Amen? And what happens is it's run through a transformer. Well, guess what we are? We're God's people. And we've been run through a transformer. Amen? That's why the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. I still believe it's not popular, but I still believe if there's no change in an individual's life, there's no Christ in an individual's life. I believe when Christ comes into your life, He will change your life. You may not be perfect, and I'm not perfect, and we won't be till we get home, but thank God we will be different. Amen. I like the song, Just As I Am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. I'm not talking about cleaning people, getting cleaned up so they can get saved. God loves people and God will take them just like they are. Amen. But God loves them way too much to leave them just like they are. There's something in a man's life when he gets born again called sanctification. And that process begins the very moment that Christ comes into that man's heart and into his life. Realization. We're His people. He's the potter. And we're the clay. Amen. Now let me give you this tonight. This is not popular right here. But I want to give you something tonight. This is something that we need to concentrate on if we want God to come down. If we want the Lord to rend the heavens and come down. I'm going to use the word tonight, separation. And when you use that around Baptists, most of the time they think instantly that you're talking about being separated from the world. That's not how I want to apply the word tonight. The Bible said here in verse number 9, "Be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people." You say, now preacher, what do you mean separation? Listen to Isaiah 59 and verse 2. There cannot be this separation. There must be a separation from the world, yes, if we're going to have revival. But we cannot afford to have a separation from God. Let me say this to you tonight. I believe that God is always with us. Amen. I believe we're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Amen. But I still believe this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. I believe that sin separates. Now, here's the difference. It does not separate our relationship. It separates our fellowship. And that's the difference. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that that's what happens. The Bible said, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Listen to this. In Jeremiah 5:25, He said, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." How many believes God's got a boatload of good things that He wants to give to us? Amen. He wants to give to this church. He wants to give to every family. But He says, hey, if we're not willing, I believe that's why God, right here's where God put it in my heart. We're going to have communion. Amen. I believe I'm dealing with folk that are honest tonight and that would be willing tonight to say, "Lord, search me. If there's anything, Lord, that would keep you from working in my life, help me to get it out." Amen. I believe that tonight. The Bible said here, your iniquities have separated. The Bible said when we have that sin, the Bible said your iniquities have turned away these things and your sins have withholden good things from you. Let me say this to you tonight. You don't have to agree with me. How many believes revival is a good thing? Can I tell you there'll be only one reason that it will be withholding? It's a little three-letter word. S-I-N. That's the only reason, amen. I believe with all of my heart, you get a group of people, you say, "Preacher, I'm going to tell you, everybody ain't going to come clean. I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost get right in here, just right. The atmosphere get just, say amen right there. I believe everybody will come clean or they'll just get out. Say amen right there. I believe the Spirit of God can be so real in a revival meeting, amen, that folk will either run in or run out. But they won't hold still. Amen. God wants to start with us. This is a prayer meeting crowd. I believe that's why the Lord had this message the way He did. God wants to start with us. Amen. Let's make sure. If it's something we've omitted in our life, it's sin. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's not only the things we do. Sometimes it's the things we fail to do. Let me give you this. How many would be interested in getting God to forget? In Isaiah 64 and verse number 9, Isaiah said, "Be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity." How many be glad God does forget it? Say amen. Let's forget our sin. Amen. Listen what the Bible said here. You say, "Preacher, is that possible?" Not only is it possible, but God promised. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." How many believes that tonight? I may have used this illustration. Brother Long's the first one I ever saw use it. But if you take, I'll use this microphone as an example. I remember it's been 15 years ago, maybe longer, I saw Brother Long do this. He said, "If this represents sin, God teaches us in the Bible, if we cover it, Brother Gary, that He'll uncover it. Look at the life of David. Look at everybody else in the Bible, amen, that tried to cover their sin. But watch this. He said this. He said, if we will uncover it, that's what the Bible's saying right there. Whosoever confesseth and forsaketh, then here comes God. He said, I'll cover it. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's the best end of that deal. Say amen right there. I want Him to cover it, don't you? I don't want Him to cover it, amen. I don't want to be embarrassed by it, amen. He said, preacher, did you really say that? I really did. I want Him to cover it. Amen. I still put my shoes on just like you do. Amen. I still have flesh just like you do. And listen, I'll get to it here in a minute. You'll understand. It's getting easier. Watch what the Bible said here. You say, preacher, how are we going to get God to forget? I'll tell you how. Just confess it and forsake it. God will have mercy. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. How many believes revival brings the fullness of joy? Amen. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from, I love this, A-double-L, all sin. And can I just give you something before I read the rest of it? My friend, 1 John was not written to sinners. It was written to saints. Amen. The saints of the living God. Listen to verse 9. The Bible said if we confess our sin, He is faithful. I mean, He's glad He is. Glory, glory, glory. I'm telling you, you're looking at a preacher that wouldn't be standing here tonight if He wasn't faithful to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now watch this. Here's the verse. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What about that? What about that? I tell you what that does. That puts the halos in the closet until Jesus gets here. Say amen. We can't wear them yet. Amen. There's none of us that can say. One old preacher said the only way I know of for God's people to live above sin would be to move in over a bar. He said, then you'd be living above sin. Amen. My friend, tonight, God wants us to know we can have that revival, but we got to get that separation taken care of. Make sure that I have that fullness of joy. Revival, it'll bring fullness of joy and it'll bring fellowship with Jesus. Amen. How many believes revival's conditional? You see, listen to the word if we say, we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. If we say, if we walk in the light, rather, as He is in the light, that there's that if again. If we say we have no sin in verse number 8. If we confess our sins in verse number 9. If we say that we have not sinned, there's a condition, amen. How about this? We love this verse, don't we? If my people, which are called by my name, if there's any doubt about 1 John being written to Christians, which in my mind there's no doubt whatsoever, a sinner man cannot know the fullness of God's joy. It's not written to sinners. It's written to God's people. But over there in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name. God said, you remember in the verses before that, I don't have them memorized, but He said, if I shut up the heavens, you know what happens when we're not having any revival? Glory to God. Think about that. Amen. I tell you what's happening. The heavens are shut up. And this whole message is about God rending the heavens and coming down. Amen. He said, if I shut up the heavens, He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. By the way, beloved, I believe that's more than just 30 seconds worth. Say amen. I believe seeking the face of God, we must be diligent about it. He said, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. We don't like to use the word wicked and Christian in the same sentence, do we? Say amen right there. Or the word wicked and God's people. Maybe that'd be a better way to put it. In the same sentence. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe if we search deep enough, every one of us could find a wicked way in us. Jealousy's a wicked way. Envy's a wicked way. Amen. Anger is a wicked way. Laziness is a wicked way. Would somebody say amen right there? I mean, there's all kinds of wicked ways. I've been preaching for years and still believe it to be the truth. The sins of the flesh is not what's holding back revival. It's the sins of the Spirit. Amen. Jealousy and envy and anger and evil speaking and malice. The Bible said, let all that stuff be put away from among you. And be you kind one to another. Tender hearted. I'm not going to say who, but this took place way back in the summer. But one of our ladies, she said something that could have been misunderstood. And she told me the other day, she said, preacher, she said, it was just killing me. Said I had to go to that person and I had to make sure that there was not, that I hadn't said something or that she said it was just killing me. And she said, preacher, this is what I told this person. I said, preacher, I told this person, our church is doing too good and God's a blessing us too good for us to let something come between us. Oh, I say, hallelujah. What you have, you better guard it. Amen. There's a devil that wants to get right in the middle of it. Amen. He don't want God to rend the heavens and come down. I said, praise the Lord for that spirit. For that spirit. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll just go ahead and use this, Brother Ralph. I mean, you and I know one another well enough. I'll just go ahead and use it. But Brother Ralph and his wife, they drove by my house one day. Just wanted to come down and see where I lived. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I wish he'd have stopped and mowed the grass. Amen. But anyway. But when I found out he just passed through, this is what I said to him. I said, if I find out you've been down that way again and don't stop, I said, me and you's going to have problems. Well, now you could take something like that. Amen. And I had to go back to him. I said, do you understand what I meant by that, brother? And he said to me, he said, well, I just thought you was kidding, preacher. No, I said, here's what I meant by what I said. If you come down that way again, I want you to stop. That's what I meant, amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I said that for a reason, church. Brother Fred, if a day comes and I say something and you don't understand, it just sounds like something, and it don't even make sense, but maybe you're in question about it, just ask me about it. Because I don't always say it just exactly like I want to, amen. Sometimes I know what I mean, but it don't come out. And it may be that way. I thought about you, Brother James, the other day. You people, I love you people, amen. But Brother James was back here one Sunday morning in the vestibule back there. And he said, preacher, I'll get him a visitor's card if you want me to. Honest to God, I was in 100-mile-an-hour gear just trying to get things done. I didn't even respond to you, Brother James. But the Holy Spirit of God told me later, amen, you should have let Him do it, amen. He wanted to do it, amen. But I was just wide open. In a gear. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, don't let the devil get in there. Amen. Don't let the devil get in there. Don't let the devil get in there. Don't let him get in there. I was walking at the church I pastored. I was walking down this side over here and about where Sister Sue was on a Sunday morning. I shook hands with the lady and I said, how you doing, sis? She said, tell you the truth, preacher, I'm about to die. I said, that's good. And I just went right on. How many of y'all been around me? Now, I'm not trying to make excuses, but my mind's a lot of times 50 yards out there in front of me, amen. And I'm just saying, if I ever say something to you, amen, don't let the stinking devil get in there, amen. Don't let him get in there. Don't be afraid to say, pastor, here's what you said. Could you help me to understand exactly what you meant right here? You might be surprised. Amen. You might be surprised. You say, well, preacher, you need to slow down. Miss Eve will say amen to that, and I will too. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, church, God is telling us here. And what time is it? Oh my, we're about done, I think. But God is telling us here, don't let anything separate. You see, if my fellowship with you is separated, my fellowship with Him is separated. How many believes the Bible teaches that? Brother Gary, if you and I, if we don't have fellowship and I come to the altar, God said, just get up, boy, and go be reconciled to your brother. Amen. And then come on, bring your gift and I'll take it. Amen. The Bible teaches that. There's too little emphasis put on that in these days. We walk around like, well, praise God, I'm going to serve the Lord, whether anybody else does or not. No, sir. Listen to me. We need one another. I need the prayers of those I love. I don't need to be separated from fellowship with God's people or the God of heaven. Amen. No, sir. No, sir. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't have to believe me. But if the Lord would come down just right, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see people getting right with one another. You say, preacher, you don't know. Oh, yes, I do. I've been in meetings where the Lord come down and where people got right with one. You talk about sweet glory to God. Brother Long talking about that bee tree leaning. Amen. You talking about honey running out the hole full blast. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't know a thing tonight, but I'm telling you this. When He comes down, the people don't only get right with Him, they get right with one another. Say amen. If there's anything separating, they'll get it right. Mark it down. Mark it down. Amen. Then let me give you this in the last word here. And I believe this last word is a warning. And the last word is the word desolation. Look here. The Bible said here in verse 10, thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Now, I'm just going to tell you how God spoke to my heart. There's one interpretation in the Scripture, but there's many applications. As soon as I read that verse and God gave me that word, it's right there in the verse, desolation. As soon as I read it, a picture in my mind appeared. Has anybody watched the news and what's happened to the city of Detroit? Does anybody know what's happened to the city of Detroit? I'm telling you, it's a desolation. People have left. Everything just seems like everything they showed in the pictures was vandalized. Graffiti written all over everything. And let me tell you the way God spoke to my heart. I love Kingsport. Would somebody get on with me right there and say amen? I love our city. But I'm going to tell you what, our city needs revival. And if our city don't have revival, brother, there could come a day, Brother Grizzle, when this is a desolate place. I mean, a desolate place. How many knows that our churches in this area, our families in this area, the economy in this area depend a great deal on the Eastman Chemical Company? How many knows what I just said? I'm telling you, I serve a God, amen, that can in the snap of His finger take care of that. Say amen. I'm telling you, God don't want us to get so lost in our prosperity that we forget our need of Him. We need God to come down, or this could be the next desolate city. That's what God's saying. You see, what happens now, in the end of the chapter, Brother Wade, if we take that to heart, that helps us to get back over to the beginning of the chapter and be desperate for Him to come down and do something. Amen. We can't speak for other churches. Amen. We can't do that. We can't say, well, it's up to them. What we need to say, Lord, if not us, who? If not here, where? If not now, when? Amen. And I believe when there's that desperation for the Lord to rend the heavens and come down, I believe God will rend the heavens and come down. I don't know, people. I've been in the ministry for 26 years. And I'm not just saying what I'm about to say, but in my heart, I just feel like something good's about to happen. I'm praying with an expectation. I'm expecting God to do something for His people here in this community. Amen. Help us to reach more lost people. Help us to do our part in the days ahead. The Bible talked about the Gentiles over there in chapter 65. Said, I'm sought of them that ask not for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. How many is glad the Gentiles got in? He said in verse 2, I spread my hands out all day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Talking about Israel. Listen to Romans chapter 11 and I'm done. The Bible said, and if some of the branches be broken off, that's talking about Israel. And Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and thou, being a wild olive tree, the Gentile, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. He's saying, you ain't got no reason to be boasting against the Jew. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. The Gentile was grafted in. Listen to what he said. But he said, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. How many knows that's how we stand? He said, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. He said, preacher, I don't understand. The day's coming swiftly when Jesus will come again. Amen. And there's going to be a Gentile world cut off. But I know there's going to be a number out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue that's going to trust the Lord. Amen. But I'm telling you, the Bible said, harden not your heart and don't stiffen your neck, because you can be cut off suddenly. I believe everybody in this world that has rejected the Lord at the coming of Christ has sealed their doom. The Bible said, I'll send them strong delusion, and all them which believed a lie, that had pleasure in unrighteousness, shall believe a lie and be damned. I don't want to bust anybody's bubble. I'm not here to pick a fight. But that series, they had it years ago come out, Left Behind. It teaches something that is not taught in the Bible. And that is that you can reject Christ on this side of the coming of the Lord and then understand what's going on and receive Him on the other side. That truth is not taught in the Word of God. I believe that those people that will be saved are people that have either not heard or the Holy Ghost has not dealt with them. Say amen. And I believe God will help them in that day. Amen. And not all of them, but some of them are going to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Tonight I believe it's important. Realize God grafted us in. But just as easily as He did that. By the way, the Bible said only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. You know, I don't believe that was a sudden thing. I believe that's been a gradual thing. Amen. You say, well, what are we doing? I tell you what we're doing. We're begging God to reverse that among us and rend the heavens and come down. He's the same God yesterday and today and forever. How many's glad you come to prayer meeting tonight? I'm just glad we can still have revival in these days. Amen. Let's believe God. Let's beg God. Let's be there that God might use us for His honor and for His glory.